You, sir, have the patience of Job. Thank you so much for putting up with my crap here in Detroit.
Sure.
So, was that the zone today?
Was that the what?
Were you in the zone today?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you try and get in the zone every weekend, I guess. But, you know, it was amazing to have the car to go out there and kind of just stretch our legs every single lap. And, yeah, it was a great day for sure.
Because your eyes, when you got out of the car after the race, it seemed like you were trying to digest everything. Is that always kind of a download thing for you? Even at that point, you're still trying to process everything that just happened?
I think so. I mean, you know, we made some changes overnight, and, you know, I wanted to kind of discuss them with my engineer kind of quickly, because it's always a difficult time after a race. You know, you get pulled in a lot of different directions. But, yeah, we tried some different things today, and obviously it was positive, so we'll take that with us for the next road course races we have coming up.
So do you, I mean, I remember it used to always be the discussion, Alexander, that, you know, like what you bring off the trailer, you can only be so good. You can only do so much changing to a car, modify it. You guys in Indy seem to really be able to dial the cars in more and more over the course of the weekend. I'm not going to say easier, but is it better? I mean, does it give you more of a chance to adjust the car over the race weekend?
Yes and no. I mean, I think a lot of what you see is just staying on top of track evolution, because that's a big thing for us throughout a weekend, especially with all the different series and rubber that goes down. The track kind of changes every time you go out. So you have to be able to predict that better than your competition. But I don't know. I still think there's a lot of merit to having a car that's fast out of the box. I could probably pick out maybe two or three times over the past 4 years where we've had a bad car off the trailer and turned it into a good one. So, you know, you still have to come out of the gate strong. And that's all based on the work that we do in the workshop leading up to the race weekend.
So is your mind already on Toronto?
Oh yeah, definitely. Focus on Toronto. We were actually talking about Iowa this morning when we had some free time. So we're two races ahead at this point.
So you got Toronto, Iowa, and then Mid-Ohio, which you won last year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Toronto and Mid-Ohio, we've been strong at in the past. Iowa has been a little bit of a mystery for us to solve. So, you know, it's one that we're putting a lot of effort into, and hopefully we can be stronger there this year than years past, because Joseph certainly is the man around there.
Is it simplistic when as fans we look and go, okay, you won there last year, so you have the setup. Setups don't carry over year to year, even with the same body, do they?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think this year actually you don't know how much you need to develop and how much you need to push in the off season. You know, when you have good performance like we did last year, and I think that we came out of the gate in St. Pete actually a little bit behind our competition. I think they closed the gap to us. And, you know, we had to really kind of dig deep and find areas where we needed to improve, because as much as the car and the tracks primarily stay the same, you know, the tires are always a little bit different and conditions are always different. So there's always little things that you need from the car that maybe won't work 1 year to the next. So, yeah, I mean, we're always chasing a moving target, it seems.
I know you and I have talked about this in the past, Alexander. I'm obviously a fan of Ayrton Senna, and like any driver would be, you guys. But I think I look at what happened in Monaco and him in 88 differently. When he wrecked two laps left, you know, and Alain Prost was catching up to him, which a lot of people don't realize. But he never lost at Monaco again, and he wound up, I think, winning the last eight races that year. That mental fortitude, now that you're looking at the second part of the season, does this even steal your resolve more, being only 7 points behind? Do you lock in even more if that's possible?
Maybe subconsciously, but I think that at the end of the day, we realize that each race is more important than the last. You know, this was more important than Texas, and Toronto is more important than this weekend. So, you know, you have to be focused, and you have to be able to adapt to weekends when it's not necessarily going your way and maximize the points. And you have to be able to be good on a lot of different types of tracks coming up. I mean, we've got all four types of circuits that the NTT IndyCar Series goes to coming up. We've got, you know, a street race coming up next, followed by a short oval in Iowa, then the road course in Mid-Ohio, and obviously Pocono is a super speedway. So there's a lot of racing left to do and a lot of points still to be got.
And the physical part of it, I don't think they can be underestimated for fans who watch it, Alex, that, you know, that you guys, I know Will said, I think on Dale Jr.'s podcast, you guys get your heart rate at some point. Was it 190? We'll get up during a race.
I mean, it depends on each driver. Yeah, I mean, you're in an anaerobic state for most of the 2 hours, most of the time, which is why we put such an emphasis on training and continuing to push out hard outside the race car, so that when we do get into the car, it's easier than anything we've done in the gym the week before.
So how do you prepare yourself physically for something as mental as the end of a race? Your tires are gone. You're pushing yourself, you know, like today, obviously with 27 seconds, I think it was, but just hitting all your marks lap after lap, the end of the race, you've reached that anaerobic state like you were talking about. How do you train yourself to do that? Or is it just something you're born with?
That's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of us, you know, in IndyCar, we've been racing cars for a long time, right? And you learn a lot about how to manage yourself and tricks that work for you that might not work for others. This isn't like football, right? Where, you know, there's like four elements that you have to be good at, like a 40-yard dash and vertical jump and a distance jump and all of these things. In racing, you know, each driver has their things that work for them. And yeah, I mean, for me, it's about just training harder at the gym than from both a strength and a cardiovascular standpoint than I ever would have to in the race car. So yeah, when I do the races, it's easy, right? And you know, you have some tracks that are harder than others, and you know, Road America isn't typically a hard track, mostly because the straightaways are quite long. It's usually pretty cool here. But on the flip side of that, Texas 2 weeks ago is one of the toughest races we go to with the constant G loading, the high speeds, and, you know, it usually being 95 to 100 degrees. So each race has its own kind of unique characteristics, and that's why to win this championship, you have to be good at a lot of different elements.
Okay, so IndyCar comes to you tomorrow and says, Alexander, you have to pick three tracks, you and Joseph, head-to-head for the championship. Which three tracks do you go to?
Well, that's easy. Indy, Long Beach, and Watkins Glen.
You thought of this. Wow. Okay. Yep. Which one's first? Which one's last?
Oh, I don't care. I'll beat him at all three of those. So.
Well, congratulations on it. I obviously you were a little busy driving the car, but as a fan watching it today, it was beautiful to watch you guys from the moment you cleared Colton to watch how you drove that car and your entire team too. Like you said it. I love to see a car dialed in like that. That just blows my mind how you guys nailed it. That's fantastic.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks very much.
All right. Alexander Rossi, congratulations once again. Coolest car on the track, man. All the best. Good luck in the championship.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
Thanks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.